Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. It's day 2 of Earth Day 365's existence on multi-channel bundle Pluto TV. How will this new service go and grow from here? Co-founders and managing partners Ryan and Mark Presser join me next in an internet radio exclusive. They called him mostly harmless is not your typical found person special du jour. We'll learn why later this hour from Patricia Gillespie, the Emmy-winning executive producer and director of this Max presentation. Also ahead, Lifetime's not waiting to exhale anymore, other news notes, and our classic trivia question. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, simulcasting live from New York on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, and TuneIn Radio. I present the iHeartRadio Podcast Network and 44 other great podcast destinations. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Our opening half hour today is brought to you by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks on the go, wherever you go. 42 degrees, top of the hour here in the Big Apple. And on this Tuesday afternoon, we welcome you to a special hour edition of the program all about TV's current and future. Wonderful guests coming away in the 60 minutes ahead, and we invite you to be part of the program. How do you do it? You pick up the phone and dial in with this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. The number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, Spreaker, or TuneIn Radio. And you can also participate in our chat room, SimonApple04. That's the name of the room. You'll find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Before we get things underway, we have a very special announcement to make about who our lead guest will be on Friday afternoon's edition. As many of you know, after the Super Bowl ends on Sunday night, the network that presents it presents a premiere of a new series. In CBS's case, it will be the brand new series Tracker, starring Justin Hartley as someone who roams around the country and helps people in need. Well, Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we will have the executive producer and the director of the episode you will see on Sunday night at the Super Bowl, Ken Olin. That's right, Ken Olin. You remember him from his great role as Michael on 30-something. He was also the executive producer and lead director for such classic shows as Alias, Frozen Sisters, and more recently, the prize-winning This Is Us. Ken Olin will join us live as our lead guest this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here exclusively on Tomorrow Be Televised. And also on the program, right to Ken, we will have, reset from last Friday, Kane Lee, the executive producer of the critically acclaimed new Paramount Plus animated movie, The Tiger's Apprentice. That is all coming your way this Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And we will get to our guests for this hour after these news notes. Wayne Exhale and How Stella Got Her Groove Back author Terry McMillan will inhale Lifetime when it comes to made-for-TV film content. McMillan is set to executive produce and generate a group of new original movies that explore the love relationships of African-American women. Terry McMillan Presents will be the umbrella title of this Lifetime venture, with the initial movie details in the near future. McMillan previously made A Day Late and A Dollar Short for the network, with a cast led by Whoopi Goldberg, Kimberly Elise, and Aniki Nani Rose. Quickies. YouTube TV started 2024 with more than 8 million customers. That's up 3 million from the multi-channel bundle status at the end of 2022. Good Grammy Award result. 16.9 million people watched the CBS Paramount Plus simulcast Sunday night. That's a 34% jump from last year. On the flip side, it was the fourth least watched ceremony in Grammy TV history. And it's official. No second season of Ratched, the Netflix scripted series based on the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest character played by Sarah Paulson, in 2020. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live from Los Angeles and Airbnb exclusive, the co-founders and managing partners of the brand new network that premiered yesterday, Earth Day 365 on Pluto TV, Ryan and Mark Presser. Ryan and Mark, welcome to our program.
Thank you. Hello.
Thank you. Hello.
And Ryan, we'll start with you. How is day two going after day one?
Day two is wonderful so far. Everything's smooth and looking great, and we've had nothing but positive feedback.
And how is that feedback being made by? What are people saying, Mark?
They're just inspired by the content. They're loving it. They're entertained and excited to see what's to come as the channel progresses.
Now, for a lot of people listening in, this is going to be their first exposure to your network. We, in fact, did not know about your network's existence until we saw the Variety story on Saturday morning featuring Pamela Anderson, who, with her son Brandon, is our investors or stakeholders in this channel. So, Ryan, give us the full 10 yards. How long has this channel been in development for, and why do it?
Yeah. Well, it's probably been a year now that we've been working on this. We had been licensing content to Pluto and Samsung and others for a number of years, so we were familiar with the fast TV space. And we have kind of a unique background that it made a lot of sense for us to look at a fast channel in general and this channel in particular. So our company is a leading theatrical IMAX format documentary film studio. So we produce and distribute IMAX films in these kind of genres to museums and aquariums around the world. We have been distributing not only our own, but all the other IMAX documentary producers' films for TV and streaming in HD, 3D, 4K, and now even 8K since the early 2000s. And we've also amassed a library now of over 2,500 hours of TV series and specials in these genres. And then on top of all that, our principals co-founded, and I was longtime CEO of a cable TV network called Havoc Television, which started in 2004. Very different content genres. That was music and action sports, but carried by over 100 cable operators, 65 million homes, Comcast, Cox, Charter, et cetera. And we did very well on VOD in particular with Havoc, and that was all ad-supported. So in a strange way, it was almost kind of a precursor to the fast world now. And looking at the fact there just aren't that many channels in this kind of genre. It's a subject that is of interest to a lot of people. It's obviously top of mind in the global conversation these days. And we had hooked up with Pamela as the potential host of a series we had in development that we're selling to more traditional streamers. And we mentioned the channel to her and her son manager and production partner, Brandon Lee, that you mentioned, and they loved it. So they got on board, and from there, it's been very positive reception from the FAST platforms. And Pluto was the first and I think the biggest in terms of viewership, so a great launching point. But, of course, we are looking to push the channel out to all kinds of platforms across the U.S. and around the world.
Mm-hmm. Mark, tell us about K2 Studios, because that's the company that's put this channel together for Pluto TV. What kind of relationship does it have with IMAX? What kind of relationship do you have not only with producers in your stable producing this content, but also outside producers, independent producers?
Yeah, so as Ryan said, K2 ourselves are a studio that does production and distribution for IMAX documentary films. So we are independent from IMAX, but we sell distribute the films into IMAX-branded theaters in museums, science centers, aquariums, et cetera. And so that's the majority of the films that go into those kinds of theaters are from independent producers and distributors. But IMAX Corporation themselves do produce a small number and distribute documentaries as well. So we have a good relationship with IMAX, but we just format the films into their technology to go into those theaters. They don't have a stake in these films per se. I think that was the first part of your question. Oh, yeah. So, and then as far as our relationship with other independent producers, it's been very strong for over 20 years, and that's why we've amassed such a large library of films that we can have as part of our content mix on the channel. So we basically, prior to the early 2000s, these IMAX films were shot on 15 per 70 millimeter. Well, they were shot on that until only a few years ago, but nobody had really converted them into some kind of, digital format to go on TVs. And we were kind of the first ones to invest in getting them into HD format when HD was first a thing around 2003 or so. So we kind of as a springboard from there, we became sort of the leading non-theatrical distributor of these kinds of IMAX giant screen documentaries.
Pamela Anderson, the former Baywatch co-star, who along with her son Brandon is a stakeholder in the network, had this statement to present when the network launched yesterday, and I quote, "I've always believed in the symbiotic importance of respecting nature, animals, and our environment. I've been active for many years helping to raise awareness for worthwhile causes in each of these areas, and the Earth Day 365 channel is a great opportunity to provide engaging, inspirational content that's free and accessible to anyone 24/7, 365. It's inspirational, hopeful, mostly about exploring and celebrating our world, along with passionate people who are willing to put themselves out there to make a positive difference." We are talking about Earth Day 365 now in its second day on the air on Pluto TV, available on smart TV sets and devices. And joining us are the co-founders and managing partners of the service. That's Mark and Ryan Pressler. They're joining us live in Los Angeles this half hour. Internet Radio exclusive interview right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Albon with you live from New York. 43 degrees now as we get near quarter past the hour. Let's hear from you. Make a call, 646-652-2906. Or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Second of at least three episodes we are doing this week, possibly four. Again, coming your way on our next regularly scheduled episode on Friday, we will have the executive producer and director of the first episode of Tracker, premiering after Super Bowl on CBS and Paramount Plus, Ken Olin. Plus, we'll have the executive producer of the new Paramount Plus critically acclaimed animated movie, The Tiger's Apprentice, Kane Lee. And we may have a special edition coming your way this Thursday, and if we do, we will feature one or two of the executive producer showrunners of the critically acclaimed new series Genius, MLK/X, that premiered last week on National Geographic with simulcast, the first episode on ABC, also running on Disney Plus and Hulu. And that we're talking about is Raphael Jackson Jr. and Damion Maxedon, who did the screening at the Paley Center here in New York last Thursday. So we'll keep you posted if we will have that. If we do, it will be Thursday, 1 hour earlier than usual, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. But for sure, we will be on Friday at our regular time, again with Ken Olin from Tracker and Kane Lee from The Tiger's Apprentice. Ryan, how is the service structured? Is it on-demand-like, or is it you have, like, specific days, nights, targeted with specific programming?
Well, so Pluto and the fast channel world is really about, primarily linear TV channels or, scheduled programming. But we will have the content available on VOD as well. We do have IMAX films, as we've been talking about, as one piece, but we have a lot of TV series and specials as well, everything from nature to science and technology, space, exotic travel, outdoor adventure, even social justice. So what's great about having both the scheduled channel and VOD, if someone, finds a series they may like, they may have come across an episode of a series on the scheduled channel, and then they will be able to go into the VOD and kind of binge that entire series if they would like. So we're actually still kind of building up the VOD part of the library, but we should be getting to the point where pretty much everything that's on the channel is also on VOD.
Mark, what are some of the initial attractions, movies, series, specials that people can find immediately on your network?
Obviously there's some of the IMAX titles that we've talked about, titles like Africa, the Serengeti, Dolphins and Whales. There's some hosted travel and adventure programming, such as a couple series hosted by a guy named Tay Radar, who's a comedian and TV personality out of New Zealand, called Around the World with Tay Radar. There's Blue Chip, nature programming. There's, natural disaster programming that's always of interest. And then things that are a little more directly on the nose in terms of conservation and showing people that are helping that cause. So there's an initial batch of content that's launching the channel, and it'll be refreshed on a regular basis. And, the programming schedule is going to change, day to day, week to week, as it rolls out.
Ryan, how, when people ask you, how is your channel different from Curiosity Stream or Discovery Channel or EarthX TV, all of which are ad-supported and all of which have nature, natural history, science, space, you know, adventure programming, what do you tell them?
Well, it's an interesting question because some of those are already different from each other, right, in terms of how they focus. But I'd say with our channel, Mark touched on it, but it's a mix of kind of the more blue chip type content that would be more from a BBC and the hosted nature and adventure content. It's having that kind of wide range of content. It does include, of course, as the name would suggest, conservation and climate type content, but it's really about, not about doom and gloom. It's really about taking a positive outlook, featuring people that are working for a better future, making a positive difference, and just being able to feature content like that. A lot of times with your mainstream kind of streaming networks, they might do content with that kind of elements around Earth Day. But, you know, as you can see from the name Earth Day 365, right, we're looking at this as a chance to feature this type of content all year, not just, you know, on a holiday in April.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we're
either way you can take this. I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to say we are donating 5% of the proceeds to charitable causes that support the conservation theme as well, which I'm not sure, don't think is the case with the other channels.
Yeah,
can you
one
tell us
other...
what specific charities you're working with or what specific environmental groups you're working with?
We haven't announced it yet. We will be announcing soon. Pamela Anderson is going to become a spokesperson for a well-known charity in the near future, and so that's going to be the first. But we need to wait to announce what that is until she is announced with her partnership with that. One other note I think worth noting on the content in terms of comparing not only to those channels you mentioned, but to other FAST channels. In the FAST channel, the free streaming channel world that is Pluto TV and Samsung and Roku channels and Amazon Freevee and so forth, where our channel lives, it is mostly library content. And in our case, we are going to also be able to include brand new original series. So that's definitely a differentiator for us. We have Great Species of Africa that was shot in 8K over 5 years. So, you know, normally that would have to be a very big budget BBC production, but we've been able to include some series like that and Shark Heroes we have coming up, Space the New Frontier. Some of these we've really been able to benefit from the fact of being out shooting IMAX films and to be able to make very high-end TV versions that we can include that will be a great differentiator for us.
Mm-hmm. I want to get back to Richard Palmer in a moment. Either way, you can take this situation. How are you doing in terms of advertiser support? Because I understand that the network is ad-supported. How are you doing in terms of getting ad sales? Are there certain product categories, let's say like the plant-based food and merchandise industry, maybe advertisers that have an environmental bent? How are you doing in that front?
Well, it's interesting in the FAST world. Going back to, I mentioned Havoc Television as a channel we'd founded and operated for years. In those days, we actually had to send salespeople to New York and sell ads directly. In the FAST world, most of the carriage deals now, the platforms like Pluto or Samsung, so forth, are selling the ads. And so we don't have to do that. We have also a history in producing brand integrated original content. So that is an area where we'll pursue fitting sponsors directly. But in general, the platforms are filling the ad inventory, which is great. So the more views we get, the more ads are shown, and you know, the more revenue is generated for that 5% donation that Mark mentioned to the good causes. So people can literally, you know, cause more donations to a good cause just by simply watching the channel. You know, they don't have to write a check to donate.
Here's what Amy Kester, the executive vice president of programming at Pluto TV, had to say about the service we're talking about this afternoon. And I quote again, "We know that our viewers are more passionate about the environment than ever before, and Earth Day 365 is providing a way to make an impact simply by watching television. We're proud to partner with environmental activist Pamela Anderson and K2 Studios to bring inspiring documentaries, stunning nature shows, and engaging series that celebrate our planet and the people who are working to protect it, all while giving back in a tangible way." Mark and Ryan Presser, they are the co-founders and managing partners of Earth Day 365. They're our guests this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised, coming your way from Los Angeles. Time I'm with you live from New York. 43 degrees, we get near the bottom of the hour. In a moment, we'll talk more about original programming, and we'll bring up the Something I'd Like to See segment I did yesterday about, can we get a new generation of scripted nature programming back on the air this time, maybe through a service like Earth Day 365? We'll find out from Mark and Ryan in a moment. And if you have a question or comment on Mini Mints with them, give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Coming up in our second half hour, we'll be joined here in New York by Patricia Gillespie. She's the Emmy-winning documentary producer and executive producer and director of the new Max special that came out earlier today. They called him Mostly Harmless. She will join me to talk about this very unique special that starts out as a missing person found documentary, and it turns into so much more sinister. Plus, our classic trivia question of the week. Next to last time, you'll be able to hear it. So if you want to get 7 prizes, including the 2024 American Express pocket calendar, well, stay tuned near the top of the hour. We'll give you that opportunity in a bit. So stay tuned for that. We have a feature on this program, Ryan and Mark, called Something I'd Like to See, where I sort of rip on Something I'd Like to See Television Do. And yesterday, in fact, inspired by your service, I posed this. Can we get a new generation of scripted shows about people in nature or people and their pets that we used to have in the 50s and 60s with shows like Sea Hunt, Daktari, Flipper, General Ben, Black Beauty, et cetera, et cetera. Even the Sequest EMV that Steven Spielberg did for several seasons on NBC that deal with men, women, and you know how we deal with the environment, how we deal with animals, and so on and so forth. Ryan and Mark, up to you. What do you think? Is there room for scripted television on your service?
I think it would be great. I mean, the main challenge is funding originals on the service, right? There's a nice revenue model for the FAST world, but it's not the same as, you know, a traditional network or a traditional cable channel, even in terms of really supporting high-budget shows. So it's really a matter of how do we get creative with funding, foundations, sponsors, tax credits, you know, what combination of that can we do? But I think you're making a good point in terms of our research has shown that, to take climate change, for example, or conservation-type content, there was a USC study. It was like less than 3% of scripted film and TV episodes were touching on subject matter like that, but almost 80% of climate-conscious viewers wanted to see more content with some of those types of themes. So I think there's an appetite. And it's just a matter of getting creative in how to get that funded.
And the point of it is, well, actually two points. One is that we haven't seen this kind of programming that some of us, like myself, grew up on for a very long time. And many of these shows, whether it was Lassie or Fury or General Ben or Flipper, were done by people like Ivan Tors for very modest budgets. They were not like the multi, you know, millions of dollars per episode to make a program like that.
Yeah, I mean, it may be timely, right, with the shakeup kind of in the streaming world, with Wall Street deciding it's time to stop, you know, spending more on programming than the companies are making, right? There may well be room for more modestly budgeted shows. And I'm actually, now that you're bringing it up, right, it's surprising there hasn't been more content like that. I believe there literally are entire FAST channels about dogs and or cats, right? People People love a connection with animals. You know, my octopus teacher was a huge hit, and that was really about a relationship that a guy had with an octopus. So I think you're spot on in terms of the appetite for that out there, and I can't see why something like that wouldn't work.
And then, of course, you have England doing shows like All Creatures Great and Small. Actually, this is the second time they've done it, based on James Herriot books. Where it was done syndicated on public television, and now it's running on, I think it's like third or fourth season on Masterpiece on PBS.
Yeah, and, you know, we do see sometimes more openness overseas to, you know, genres of programming that don't always, you know, make it onto the big services here in the U.S., and that is another cool aspect of our channel, being able to bring in popular programming, you know, from the UK or Europe or other places that, you know, sometimes there's a bit of a bandwagon mentality, I guess, in terms of programming that's greenlit. And so, you know, maybe some of those types of concepts haven't gotten the chance to be made by the U.S. For the U.S. services, but there's still great content out there that we can bring onto our channel.
Yeah. And one other thing, you also had for many years Canada producing shows like The Littlest Hobo, The Beachcombers, Danger Bay, which had a run on the Disney Channel back in the 80s, and on NBC on Saturday morning, you had Run, Joe, Run, and Here's Boomer. That was done like 13 episodes for, you know, again, pretty modest budgets, and they turned out to have pretty fair runs when it came to Saturday morning television in the 70s and 80s. Where does this channel go from here, Mark and Ryan? For example, how are you promoting the channel? Is there possible you might do an event in New York, New York Press, let's say, or Los Angeles Press to showcase what you're doing? Maybe Pamela Anderson and Brandon come in for something like this. So what's the game plan in terms of encouraging more people to sample your service?
Yeah, I mean, events are always possible. We've made some commercials with Pamela that can air on, you know, for example, on other channels on Pluto. Publicity and PR, we're looking at promotional months with partners like Pluto where we pick a cause for the 5% donation that the partner really likes too, and we can do a big promotion around that. Really, one of the big next steps for us is just rolling out Carriage to more platforms. So Pluto has a brief exclusive until the middle of March, and then we're talking to other platforms to launch on going forward after that, not only in the U.S., but we already have an international distributor that has some launches lined up for March that we'll be able to announce soon. And so, you know, there are, you know, many, many fast platforms out there in the world. So it's a combination of expanding that carriage, and then as we grow, it will make more and more sense to kind of do more events and PR and so forth.
Yeah, and also there will be themed promotions on Pluto and other services when we launch, you know, obviously in the month of April for Earth Day, but, you know, shark-related programming, for instance, in the summer and other types of, calendar-based or themed programming that will draw more viewership as well.
If you want to know more about Earth Day 365, now in its first week on Pluto TV, available on smart TV sets and smart devices, two places you can go, Pluto.tv, that's Pluto.tv, and www.k2studios.us, that's www.k, small letter K, the number 2, studios.us. Are there plans, by the way, to have your own website for the service?
Yes, you can see it at earthday365.tv.
All right, so we got that. That's earthday365.tv. Great. And we'll obviously keep posted to our listeners about how you're doing. And if you've got new shows coming up, original series, we'd love to have the producers on anytime. So please let us know. Mark, Ryan, congratulations on getting the service off the ground on Pluto TV. Hopefully other smart TV sets, devices, multi-channel bundles will take it down the road starting next month. And we appreciate you taking time from your first week on the air to be with us.
All right.
Thank you very much, Simon.
You're very welcome, Mark and Ryan. Take care. Enjoy the rest of the week. Congratulations again.
Okay. Thank you. Bye now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Mark and Ryan Kressel joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Back with the second half of our program after this word from BlendJet. If your blender is bulky, a big pain to operate, got an idea for you. Give BlendJet the opportunity to make fresh smoothies, shakes, and mixed drinks an easy, delightful pleasure. BlendJet is so portable to work up a smoothie at the office or your favorite protein booster at the gym or a poolside margarita. It's quiet to operate and rechargeable on the go. So what are you waiting for? Just go to BlendJet.com and grab yours today. When you do, be sure to use the promo code TELEVISED to get 12% off your order. By the way, the price now is 12% off the lowest price available right now since New Year's Day. Plus, you get free two-day shipping. So again, you go to BlendJet.com, grab yours today. Use the promo code TELEVISED, get 12% off your order, and free two-day shipping. And the result? You blend anytime, anywhere with BlendJet. Coming up for our next half hour, Patricia Gillespie, the Emmy-winning executive producer director of the new Max documentary special that came out earlier today. They called him Mostly Harmless. She will join me here in the Big Apple as we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You're hearing the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtogray.com, speaker.com, and tune.com. Together, reach over 100 million listeners around the world every month and growing. One of BTR's most popular shows, The B-Side, comes your way later this afternoon, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific. If you love your music, check out The B-Side. That's today, 5:30 p.m. Eastern, 2:30 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. And don't forget Best BTR, always coming your way on YouTube. Welcome back to the second half of today's Tomorrow Be Televised episode. And our second half hour is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Tommy, I'm back with you along for the ride. One of those just joining us at the bottom of the hour, 43 degrees and sunny here in the Big Apple. We have another great guest for you in the 30 minutes ahead, so give us a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Our second guest is an Emmy Award winner, and she is the executive producer and director of a new documentary special on Max, the mega content service available on smart TV sets, devices, and mobile from Warner Bros. Discovery. The program is called They Called Him Mostly Harmless. And when it starts, you might think you're tuning into a missing persons found story. And then you will find out later on it's more than just that. Joining us live here in New York in an innovative system, executive producer and director, Patricia Gillespie. Patricia, thank you for being here.
Hi, thank you so much for having me on.
It's a pleasure to have you on. Have you gotten any early reactions so far on your documentary yet?
Well, so the film comes out the 8th, so we haven't gotten the big wide reaction yet, but we've had the good fortune to show it at a number of festivals. We previewed it at the Florida Film Festival, where we got just a tremendous response, and our official premiere was at the Hamptons International Film Festival, and just a couple weeks ago, we got back from Jackson Hole, and the responses have been great, so I'm feeling very lucky.
What inspired you to do this story? As I said, it starts out as a missing person that gets found dead in Florida, and that is the break, that's the beginning of a story that goes off into a totally different tangent.
Yeah, so what inspired me to tell it? Well, I actually, this project came to me through my treasured colleague, Ethan Goldman, who runs a company called Anchor Entertainment. And I knew Ethan way back from the very beginning of my career when I was a young pup, because he worked at a place called Warrior Poets, Morgan Spurlock's company. And we've been trying to work together for years and years, and we just couldn't find the one. And then he called me one day and he said, I have this crazy story. Do you want to direct it? And I read the – by the time I came on, the case had been solved. And I read the story, and I saw in it, beyond the twisty mystery at its core, a real opportunity to examine how we lead our digital lives. And what it means to be a citizen of Earth online, and a lot of questions about identity in the digital age, and that really captivated me.
If you have a question or comment for our guests, make a call, 646-652-2906. Remember, that number is good anywhere you're catching us, crossing us around the country, around the globe, here on Blog Talk Radio, SpeakerTune Radio, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Now, for those who don't know, this is a case where a body is found in an area of Florida. And when did this happen? So give us like the lay of the land here.
Yeah, so several years ago now in a place called Big Cypress National Preserve, which is a particularly wild area in South Florida at the end of the Eastern Continental Trail. The Eastern Continental Trail is a hiking trail which includes the Appalachian Trail that runs from Canada to Florida. And in this park, Big Cypress National Preserve, police discovered the emaciated body of a man weighing, 86 pounds. And he had no cell phone, no wallet, no credit cards, no photo ID, none of the things you and I would likely be found carrying at any given time. So there was nothing that could tell them who this person was. And he was emaciated, but he had all this food in his tent. And, he said, something's not really wrong here. We got to figure out who this is and what happened. So they created a composite, a drawing of the John Doe that was supposed to represent what he looked like in life. And they shared that on the internet, and all of a sudden, scores of hikers, long-distance hikers, came forward and said, I met that guy. I talked to him. I knew him. I camped with him. I hiked a couple days with him. But you know what? He never told me his name. He never told me where he was from. And that is when the police realized, there might be a deeper story here. He could have been any number of people trying to obscure his identity, right? And then the hiking community has a presence online, so they were sharing and talking about this. And then the internet sleuth community, the citizen detective community, kind of glommed on. And it became this viral sensation that went on for a couple years before they discovered his identity. And without spoiling the mystery, he turned out to be someone quite different than what everyone anticipated.
Mm-hmm. And in the process, you find at least one person who's like has this ordinary job, but it's a woman who likes to go online and try to find missing persons. Tell us about her, because she seems to be like the heroine of this special.
Yeah, Christy Harris, to me, there are two sleuths that feature in the film, Natasha Teasley and Christy Harris. And Natasha Teasley is, they each ran their own group, and each of them were instrumental in discovering who Mostly Harmless was. Natasha Teasley came to this through the outdoor industry and wanted to help solve the case because she was involved in the outdoor community. But Christy Harris, the woman you're referencing, is quite different in that she had always wanted to become a detective. She dreamed of being a profiler with the FBI. Life sort of, like it does for so many of us, thwarted her dream a little bit. And she found herself caretaking for her sister, who she's very close with, who's ill, and working as a dry cleaning delivery person. But she never gave up her passion. And so she started to become a citizen detective. And this was her first case. So she worked very, very hard to solve this mystery and went through an awful lot of people that got the final tip that ultimately solved the case.
Did you find as you went along that this became a documentary within a documentary? In other words, the big documentary, the big picture here is who is Mostly Harmless and is this person what people think this person was or not? And then secondly, that this person that you found, this woman who wants to be a sleuth through the internet, maybe just one member of this whole group of other people, maybe a bigger group of people who are all in the same kind of boat. They all want to, troll the internet to try to see if they can become missing person finders.
Yeah, I mean, I'm always looking for the story within the story. I think from the very beginning, though I was approached, and the mission was make a film about this guy, right? But there, as a filmmaker, you're always asking yourself, well, how do I want to tell this story? And to me, the sleuthing community and the hiking community and these people that came together was, in some ways, almost a bigger part of the story than the mystery, although the mystery is certainly the narrative spine, looking at this community and looking at why they're motivated to do what they do and what they go through. And I think ultimately most of these people are motivated by profound generosity. They come home from working really hard jobs and supporting themselves, supporting their families, and they donate their time to try to help other families they've never met and might never meet. So I think the film definitely became about that. It became about the hikers who'd met Mostly Harmless trying to reconcile the idea of the wonderful man they met and who he turned out to be. I think the thing that unifies it is, you know, that it's a story about how we live our lives online and you know, our tendency to want to do this really black and white thinking in the digital space. He's a good guy. He's a bad guy. And the reality is most people fall somewhere in between. But I found it so compelling to watch these people sort of actualize their dreams or their decency or try to manifest the world they want to live in through their connection with this case, through their connection with Mostly Harmless. And as a filmmaker, that's really what drew me in. And also, you know, I've made a couple films now in what's commonly referred to as the true crime space, and there's been a lot of discourse around that. But, you know, some of the good, some of the bad, and I never mind when they criticize us as makers, because I think ethics in our business is really important, and sometimes some true crime work falls short of that ethics mark. But one thing that bothered me is when they criticize the audience, because I think, you know, true crime gets, the true crime viewers get dismissed a lot as people who want to see lurid details or want to watch people suffer. And in my experience, our viewers tend to be really empathetic, and they want to hear stories about people who are facing maybe tragedy, maybe violence, maybe, you know, something truly horrible with really high life and death stakes. But they're maintaining their humanity. They're maintaining their sense of justice. They're maintaining their desire and capacity to fight for a better world. And I think a lot of true crime viewers see it as an exercise in empathy. And I think that perspective isn't always represented. And I wanted to try to make a film that celebrated those people, and in particular the people who aren't just spectators, but people like Christy and Natasha who really are trying to do something good, that are active, that are trying to get involved and help solve these cases.
As you were putting this together, Patricia, how much of a detective did you turn out to be in terms of trying to decipher this case?
A detective, I don't know. The case itself was solved by the time I came on. But, you know, there is an element of, look, I work in a research-heavy job. I'm always trying to piece together little parts of the story to see the whole. So I guess I have some facility or familiarity with that detective-like process. But, you know, I do it for reasons of storytelling, not crime solving, because I think, you know, these are stories worth telling. In this,
was it easy to find, not just find your subjects for this, but for them to recall, you know, how did I find or how did I get related to the person we call in this special, in your special, Mostly Harmless? Or how do we find these internet, sleuths? Or how do we are people willing to share themselves with you? How do you deal with that?
Well, I'll tell you what, the internet is forever. So because so much of this went down online, I had a really easy time in the sense that the actual solving of this case happened in a format I could read, right? I mean, it was really like a time capsule. You could tell what certain individuals were thinking or feeling or doing on every day over the course of solving this case. So in that sense, I was really lucky. It was also an incredibly high volume of information and thousands of people talking. And so, you know, I started by spending a couple weeks on the phone with a lot of people. and then Christy and Natasha, sort of the course blues, and our band of hikers, MJ, Mike Gormley, Kelly Fairbanks is actually a trail angel, these people that feature in the film, they sort of rose to the top simply because I think they were the most profoundly affected by the case. And in Christy and Natasha's case, I saw them as the citizen leaders of the case. In terms of getting access, I mean, I never know how to answer that question because so much of my job, I view my job as helping people tell their story. And I put a lot of emphasis on making sure that's a good experience for them and that they're ready to do it. And I think a lot about the phrase, do no harm, right? So These seem to be, to me, to be the people that I felt I could help empower while I was telling that story, to tell their story and to tell their hero's journey, right? These are people who are trying to become the heroes of their own life like anybody else. And when I see that clearly, that usually just leads to a good working relationship.
They called him Mostly Harmless. Premieres today on Max, available on smart TV sets, device, and multi-channel bundles. The main content service from parent Warner Bros. Discovery. And we are talking with the Emmy-winning executive producer and director of this special, Patricia Gillespie. She joins me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow I'll Be Televised, our second of at least three episodes this week, first full week of February 2024. Sam Avin with you live from New York. Snowman James just joined us in the chat room. So thank you for joining us. If you have a question or comment, put it in the room or make a call, 646-652-2906. And again, use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Don't forget, coming away on Friday, our lead guest will be from the new CBS series Tracker that premieres after the Super Bowl on Sunday night, executive producer and director Ken Olin. Yes, the Ken Olin we all know from 30-something and Hill Street Blues, also the executive producer and director of such great shows as Alias, Brothers and Sisters, and more recently, This Just In. Plus, we'll have the Tigers of Prince executive producer Kane Lee. That's the new animated movie from Paramount Plus that launched last Friday. It's all coming your way Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Be Televised. Coming your way, we should point out, this Thursday possibly, we may have a special episode an hour earlier than usual, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific, featuring one or two of the showrunners of the new critically acclaimed National Graphic Genius miniseries, MLK/X, Raphael Jackson Jr. and or Damion Mastodon. So stay tuned to our Facebook and X or Twitter feed to let us know what's going on. Apparently, somehow or other, our guest just dropped in. So, Patricia, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. So as soon as we get you back on the line, we will bring you back up. And Snowman James just gave us a wonderful yellow thumbs up in the chat room. So thank you, Snowman, for checking us out. Again, Patricia, if you hear us, give us a call back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're back on my computer screen, we'll get you back on the line. While we wait for Patricia to get on, let's do our classic trivia question segment. And if you are first with the correct answer, you will win seven great prizes, including two wonderful CDs, Chicago's Greatest Hits, Lifetime Women of Rock. We've got a Uber card free from AMC Networks. We have a Redbox Movie Night card from Crackle Connect. We have the 2024 American Express Pocket Calendar. And we have two wonderful books, The Day After book from USC Professor David Craig, and from Jeff Milbourne, the former writer-showrunner of Northern Exposure on CBS, running the show Television from the Inside. That all can be yours if you know the answer to this question. Name the riverboat on Riverboat. That's the name of the boat on that TV series. It was on NBC from 1959 to 1961, co-starring Dan McGavin and a young Burt Reynolds, and the second season, that was actually half a season, Noah Beery. Name the riverboat on Riverboat. Name the riverboat on Riverboat. You know the answer? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. That's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Remember, when you do so, enclose your name and your mailing address. So if you win, we get the prize out to you. If you're a previous winner or a guest on this program, you are not eligible. And if we don't get a winner by the end of today, we'll post the question tomorrow morning. That's Wednesday on Facebook and X or Twitter. I'm an Applebound X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That is Facebook at Simon Applebaum, X or Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. One more time, the question, name the riverboat on Riverboat. And if you want a hint, you can look up, you can watch the show on YouTube, some of the episodes. You can also find out about the boat's name on Wikipedia. They have an item about the show. And also, I should point out that the name of the boat is also the name of a very famous vessel on a classic television series of the 1960s and beyond. That should give you a nice hint. So name the riverboat on Riverboat. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com, and you could be our first classic trivia segment winner of 2024. Remember, to order be in, you got to get in. So do so, and all the very best. Again, we are trying to get back Patricia Gillespie, the Emmy-winning executive producer and director of the new Max special, They Called Him Mostly Harmless, that premieres today. Patricia, if you hear us, call us back, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see that you're on my computer screen, we will get you back on the line. Again, thank you to Snowman James, with his yellow thumbs up for joining us. If you have a question or comment for Chicha, put it in the chat room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. So while we wait for Patricia to get back on the line, let's have this message from Wild. Are you out to make your personal well-being more natural and eco-friendly? Then give Wild a try. I do. I use it all the time. It's so great because it has natural ingredients. It freshens you anytime for any occasion. And Wild comes in a variety of terrific scent and color combinations like jasmine and mandarin blossom or fresh cotton and sea salt. It's easy to put on. It's not sticky. Works 24/7 and beyond. It's really, really great. Plus, it comes with a refillable case that you open or close at the bottom of the case. You put, if you want refills, you put them in, any scent or color combination. You put them in, take them out, always great. And there's no harsh chemicals to fret about. And again, if you want a refill, it gets delivered right to your door. So here's my suggestion for you. If you want a natural jolt that's kind to your body and the planet, go Wild today with Wild. And you do so with a special discount of 25% off your first order when you use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. So go to wearewild.com. That's wearewild.com. And use the promo code SimonApple04 at checkout. So enjoy with Wild. It's the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. Simon Apple, I'm with you here on this special Tuesday edition of the Pro Mobile TV's Current and Future. For some reason, we have lost Patricia Gillespie. She is the Emmy-winning executive producer and director of the new Max documentary special, They Called Him Mostly Harmless, that debuted today. Also, as Patricia said earlier, it's received some play at film and TV festivals around the country. It's running on Max. That's the mega content service of Warner Bros. Discovery. It's available on smart TV sets, devices, and multi-channel bundles. If you have a question or comment for Patricia, make a call, 646-652-2906, or use that chat room, SimonApple04 by name, as Snowman Names James is doing. And Patricia, if you hear us or your PR rep is hearing us, please call us back. 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you on my computer screen, we will get you back on the air. Once again, if you've just joined us, this is the promo about TV's current and future. And again, coming your way on our next regularly scheduled episode on Friday, we will bring you Ken Olin. That's right, the Ken Olin of 30-something fame, Hill Street Blues fame as an actor. It was on 30-something. He met his partner in life, Patricia Wedding, and they've done some stuff together as well. He's also an executive producer and director of a lot of great shows and made-for-TV movies and other stuff. His most notable efforts in both executive producing and episodic directing include Alias, Brothers and Sisters, both for ABC, and more recently the prize-winning NBC series This Is Us. And now he is the executive producer and director of Tracker. That's the new CBS series that will premiere immediately after the Super Bowl on your local CBS station and also available on Paramount Plus. And speaking of Paramount Plus, in addition to Ken, we'll also have, rescheduled from last Friday, Kane Lee. He is the executive producer of The Tiger's Apprentice. That's the critically acclaimed new Paramount Plus animated movie that premiered last week. He'll be with us as well on Friday. That's all 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific. Big, big, big program for you right here exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And once again, there is a possibility that we will have another special edition for you this Thursday. If we do, it will feature one or two of the showrunner executive producers of the critically acclaimed new Nat Geo Genius miniseries, MLK/X, starring Aaron Pierre as Malcolm X, Calvin Harrison Jr. as Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., Marucci Opie as Coretta Scott King, and Jamie Lawson as Betty Shabazz. And by the way, this is a series where the women in these men's lives are equally as important. We hope to have either Raphael Jackson Jr. and or Damian Mastione on Thursday. We are waiting word from Nat Geo to see if we can get them. And if so, we will put that episode on 1 hour earlier than usual, 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. That's 2 p.m. Eastern, 11 a.m. Pacific. And you can also find me tomorrow on Sports Newswire. That is the daily sports news information hour on Sports Grid Network, which this week is originating programming live from Las Vegas, the site of the Super Bowl. And because of that, for this week only, Sports News Wire is running 1 hour later than usual. Usually it's on 11 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Pacific. This week, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific. It's noon Eastern, 9 Pacific. I'm usually on Wednesdays at around 11:45 Eastern time, 8 a.m. Pacific time, 8:45 Eastern Pacific time. This week, tomorrow, it will be around 12:45 Eastern time, 9:45 Pacific time. We'll be talking about Super Bowl activity. We'll also talk about the situation with Fox and what will happen when Tom Brady becomes a Fox NFL analyst this fall. What team, announcing team, will he work with? Will somebody be booted out like Greg Olsen or Darryl Johnson in the process? We'll see. We'll talk about that tomorrow on Sports Newswire. You'll see me live in person on Sports Grid Network, available on your smart TV set, a smart device, Amazon Freebie, Local Now, and other multi-channel bundles. All right, we're going to give Patricia Gillespie one more minute to get back online with us. Patricia, if you're hearing us, or your PR rep is hearing us, make the call, 646-652-2906. And as soon as I see you on the screen, we will get you on. If not, we will have to wrap things up because we're coming up on about, 3 or 4 minutes before we have to leave for the day. So once again, 646-652-2906, or use the chat room, SimonApple04 by name. Again, we apologize for the technical breakdown that caused Patricia to leave us. And we'll wait another 30 seconds to see if we can get her on. So I'm going to pause a little bit and see if we can have her come on. All right, we are going to have to, unfortunately, call it an interview. So again, the program is They Called Him Mostly Harmless. It's now playing on Max, available on smart TV set device and multi-channel bundles. For more details about the program online, go to max.com. It's max.com. Patricia, thank you very much for coming on. We apologize for the technical breakdown. It was a great pleasure having you, and all the very best with your future work in TV documentaries and unscripted television. Patricia Gillespie joining me here in New York this half hour on Tomorrow Be Televised. Thanks to all of our guests for being here this hour. Thanks to all of you for tuning in. Remember, we may be with you on Thursday at a special earlier time, 2 p.m. Eastern. That's 11 a.m. Pacific with the people from Genius, MLK/X. And for sure, we will be with you on Friday at a regular time with Ken Owen from Tracker and Kane Lee from The Tiger's Apprentice. If you came in late on today's episode, want to catch up on an episode you missed, go to the homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's Tomorrow Be Televised, /televised. And don't forget, you can catch us at our wonderful website, tomorrowbetelevised.com, and, of course, on all great podcast platforms like iHeartRadio, iTunes, Odyssey, Google Podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, Audible, and more. Love to hear from you. What do you think about our show today? What's your thoughts about where TV's at and where it's going? Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. By the way, Snowman James just let us know he's very excited about seeing Tracker this Sunday on CBS and or Paramount Plus. You can also check me out on Facebook, LinkedIn, and X or Twitter. Facebook, LinkedIn, Simon Applebaum. X or Twitter, UBC Simon WBT. However you respond with me, I respond with you within 24 hours. That's a promise, because what you say matters now more than ever. The views expressed are those of the participants. They are not necessarily those of Blog Talk Radio or the services program. Annie Toews, BeachR General Manager, Jay Sonnenberg is Head of Content. Website is provided by On Podium, the Internet's great podcast outpost. Guitarist Vegas is our web coordinator. Tomorrow We Tell Lives is brought to you by Wild, the reusable, refillable, natural deodorant that's kind to your body and the planet. And by BlendJet, the portable blender letting you make fresh smoothies, shakes, or mixed drinks on the go wherever you go. But Tomorrow We Televise, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for your listening. Again, catch you tomorrow on Sports Newswire, noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Sports Grid Network. And then back here either Thursday or Friday, you know where, Blog Talk Radio Speaker or TuneIn Radio and all of our web and podcast destinations. Whatever you are up to between now and then, make it safe, make it great, and remember, let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with you. Until the next time, stay well and stay tuned.